I'm Elizabeth Ames, and this is the Women in Product podcast. This episode is part of our series about the path to Chief Product Officer. It is one of 9 interviews we conducted with incredible women CPOs about their individual paths to Chief Product Officer. This episode is the second interview in this series. In it, Rashmi Ramesh interviews Anika Gupta, the Chief Product Officer at Rubrik. Prior to joining Rubrik in July of 2021, Anika spent 11 years with LiveRamp, in which she held 6 different positions and advanced from software engineer through Chief Product Officer to President and Head of Products and Platforms. Anika holds a BS in Mathematics and Computational Sciences from Stanford University. Rashmi is a member of the Women in Product community and currently a Director of Product. I'll let Rashmi and Anika take it from here.
How did you get started in product management, and did you always wanted to be a chief product officer?
Well, I think when I graduated from college, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my career. I had done an interdisciplinary degree. It was a little bit of computer science, a little bit of math, a little bit of statistics. And so I didn't have like a set upon path of what I wanted my career to look like. I knew that I wanted to work in a tech company. I wanted to work in a startup so I could see how decisions were made and also just to figure out what kind of role I eventually wanted to do. But I started in software engineering. And I think my interest in product, I did actually when I was graduating interview for product management roles as well, but I didn't really know what product management was. And I eventually decided to take a role in software engineering. But what my interest in product management really came about because I saw our VP of product at the time operating and really being the go-between with sales, with customers, and then with the engineering team. And I looked at what he was doing and I was like, you know what? I want to do that job. And so that was where my initial interest came in. And over time, I was given the opportunity to move from engineering into product management and within the same company, which was a great introduction into getting into product management, especially because I didn't really know what the role entailed how that was going to, you know, how I was going to like that.
That's pretty awesome. I think it all sheds from this one person who you really want to be and, you know, the kind of influence that they have in you. So that's awesome. And did you want to be a chief product officer?
I've always had big career ambitions. So I think for me, when I was starting in my career, I knew I wanted to be in leadership at some point in time. Both of my parents were actually entrepreneurs and ran their own companies. So I had these amazing role models growing up. And both of them set very high aspirations for me in terms of what I should do in my career and what I should aspire to. So leadership was always in the cards for me. I think figuring out what function I wanted to, you know, what path I wanted to go down, what function I wanted to lead in took me a couple years of self-discovery and seeing really how companies operate and what these roles actually entail, because you can talk to a lot of people, you can read things online, but you don't really know what the day-to-day looks mm-hmm. like until you see leaders in action. And for me, that's really what helped me set me on the path of a product and eventually becoming a chief product officer.
Oh, awesome. So in this journey, what kind of detours or pivots that you happen to undertake in order to get to this chief product officer as you were doing the self-exploration, inspiration from others, starting with your own home and beyond. So what detours of pivots did you undertake?
I had so many. For me, I've always been an intensely curious person. And so I love learning about what other people do. And I love experimenting and trying new things. Within my career, I was able to go from a software engineer to becoming a chief product officer all at the same company, which was a really special and a unique opportunity, I think. But along the way, like I had I had so many detours. I did a lot of different roles and trying to figure out exactly what I wanted to do. So I started in software engineering when we were a 20-person startup at LiveRamp. And then, you know, this was before we found product market fit. Once we found product market fit, I became our first product manager. And it was just me and our VP of product. So it was a very, very small product team. And then I did a detour into running marketing and recruiting because we were a startup. There was a need to do that. I was interested in expanding what my own experiences because I knew the technical side of product management, but I didn't really know the outward marketing side of it. And so I thought that that was a great opportunity to run marketing and eventually recruiting to get that kind of experience. I came back to lead the product team after we decided to hire a VP of marketing and really scale out our marketing function. So I took a few different detours. And then even after that, becoming a chief product officer, I had the opportunity to run our customer implementation and support team. I had an opportunity to run a part of the sales team for a period of time. And all of those experiences, I think, have helped me become a better leader for the company and a better chief product officer.
That's pretty awesome. I think getting that experience across these multiple areas, I think really, fuels or makes the chief product officer a more complete function. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. I think what really distinguishes the chief product officer role and why it's such a difficult role is that you are the glue between all the different functions at the company. Developing great products that people love and is solving a important and urgent problem for the customer. It's not just about building great technology. It's not just about selling that great technology. Mm. It's about how do you put it all together into a machine where you're constantly innovating, iterating, and continuing to figure out like what you can do next and how is that all going to pull together across the company. So it's a very integrated role. And I think that makes it really challenging, but it also means that if you can get these experiences where you can really empathize with different functions within the company and understand how it all fits together to bring a product to market, I think that is truly what this role is all about.
Awesome. I think we'll definitely go into a little more details about really who is a CPO and what does a CPO do. But just before that, so how did you land this position in Rubrik? Were you more recruited towards this or did you actually approach the company?
Yeah, so I spent almost 11 years at LiveRamp. And about 10 years into that journey, I realized that I needed to do something new to expand my experiences, diversify, and just reaccelerate my learning again. So I started a search for a leadership role. I knew I wanted to stay in technology, but I wanted to branch outside of LiveRamp's industry, which is marketing technology and advertising technology, really into something new where, again, I could learn a lot and contribute a lot. And I looked for various, I looked at different industries. I looked at security, which is where I ended up. I looked at fintech. I looked at healthcare. I really wanted to find an industry where there was a huge amount of change going on and therefore a huge opportunity for innovation. And so I looked far and wide. I probably talked to 100 different companies and Rubrik ended up being the one that I chose. And they were doing a chief product officer search when I got introduced to them. And so I definitely got recruited in, but it was part of a broader process of really figuring out what I wanted to do next after an incredible journey at one company.
No, that's an amazing observation, at least for people like us. How are you actually able to translate your chief product officer experience from LiveRamp, which is in a particular in the marketing data platform industry, to, you know, there is some kind of data protection there, but still it's a security domain. It's a whole new ball game. And the company is probably a little larger, almost twice the size of LiveRamp, even though similar revenues.
Yeah.
How are you able to translate that? And how could you prove that, you know, you could manage a bigger team, a bigger portfolio kind of a thing here?
It was interesting. It was something I was very nervous about. I didn't know what it was going to be like to translate my experiences running product and running a much broader set of functions at LiveRamp into running product at Rubrik in the data security world. What I found was that there was more that translated in my experiences at LiveRamp than I thought. So I think whenever you're building great products, the methodology, the approach of really being customer first, really thinking about like where, what are the strengths of the company? How do you continue to build on those strengths? How do you go from a one product company to a multi-product company? And what does that expansion look like? And how do you build, buy, and partner to create, to realize your strategy? How do you set that product strategy? Mm-hmm. All of those things, even if it was in a totally different industry, the methodology translated well, and building teams, right? That's something that translates well across industries as well. So I think there was a lot that translated. One of the things that I did do was really spend a lot of time in the beginning listening and learning, because I didn't want to come in and assume that I knew a bunch of stuff and could implement a bunch of changes really quickly, because I didn't know the industry. I didn't know the space. I really wanted to spend time to get to know the products, get to know the team, really understand the culture of the company, really understand what the team was doing really great and where were the opportunities for improvement. And I think taking that time up front and really spending time to learn helped me then take all the experiences that I'd had at LiveRamp and translate them in a completely new environment.
Oh, that's pretty awesome. I think there is so many valuable insights there, especially when you look at translating your experience from one place to the other. I think very well put. Thank you for that. Continuing on that, so what do you recommend at least for some of the aspiring leaders who are like one or two steps away from a chief product officer, you know, based on your experience of growing organically within a company to a chief product officer versus, you know, approaching this function in a totally different company? These two paths, what's your recommendation about that for some of our aspiring women?
Yeah, I mean, I was really lucky. I ended up in my first job at a company that went through an intense amount of growth, who was really willing to promote from within and allow me to continue to take on bigger and bigger roles that I had never done before. Not every company is like that. So for people that are aspiring to be a chief product officer, you have to realistically look at your company and say like, hey, does it have the growth profile? And does it have the culture where I'm going to be able to continue to learn and grow and see career development within the company? Or am I going to have to jump to a new company to really see that? And so, either path works, but you have to be realistic about what the externalities are. And there's only so much that you can do. Now, there's a lot that you can do, I think, as an individual to set yourself up such that if you do end up at a company that has that growth profile and has the culture of promoting from within, that you're in a place where you'll be able to keep growing with the company. And I think like some of those things are just continuing to adopt a growth mindset and realizing that, especially when you're in a growing company, that what worked for you yesterday isn't necessary, or even today isn't necessarily going to work for you tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And I, like in my 11-year journey at LiveRamp, I had to constantly reinvent myself as a leader. And anytime I got stuck in the past, it was a time where I started to not be doing as well in my role. And I could tell because of the feedback I was getting, because I wasn't able to help the business achieve what it needed to do next. And I had to reevaluate and realize that, okay, I need to change how I'm thinking about things and I need to let go of what was done in the past and really look at this with fresh eyes. So I think that's a really big piece. And then the second big piece is, as I was talking about before, a product is a really integrated role. And I think when you're in an individual contributor role and starting to work up into leadership roles in product, it's really easy to think about, okay, the primary people I'm working with in the company is engineering. Okay, now maybe I'm working with marketing a little bit and more with sales and with these other functions, but starting to build connections and empathy and influence across the organization and really building out those relationships so that you're broadening your sphere of influence outside of the immediate functions that you work with every day. I think that's what's needed in order to actually end up being a chief product officer. And I see people getting stuck sometimes in like a director or VP role and not being able to make that leap because they haven't necessarily built the empathy, the relationships, and the understanding of how to influence much more broadly across the entire company.
Mm. Awesome. I think I really, it resonated your comment about, you know, what you have today is probably not going to help with what will be tomorrow. And you have to constantly reinvent yourself. And probably that's true for all leaders, but even so, I think even a lot more for a chief product officer, I believe. So just now, kind of double clicking on, you know, your preparation to actually become a CPO as you took through these different pivots in your career, what skill sets do you actively seek to acquire in order to prepare or to be qualified as a CPO? So how did you start learning some of those? How did you start really preparing for this role?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think there are multiple components to it. There's a leadership, people leadership aspect, and then there's actual functional expertise that you really need in order to be a chief product officer within product management. I think on the people leadership side, I was given the opportunity to work with executive coaches pretty early on in my career. And that was really valuable to me because going from being an individual contributor to a people manager, I mean, you've been through that. It's like, it's a complete change in mindset and you have to approach things really differently. It's not just about what you're contributing to the company anymore. It's now also about like, how do you build a team? How do you delegate? How do you empower? How do you enable career development? All these things. And that's a really different skill set that people, I mean, yeah, there it can be a natural edit, but you still need to learn and you're going to make mistakes along the way.
Yep.
People are complicated and every situation that you encounter with managing people is different. And while you can apply some of your lessons from before, it's like you have to be really responsive to the different people that you have on your team and where they are. And so that was something where like I continue to work with an executive coach. Like, it's something that is really, really valuable to me because getting an outside voice and outside perspective and really understanding different frameworks and learning from other people's experiences, that's been something that's really helped me be effective and prepare myself to take on larger and larger teams, make different kinds of transitions. And like I said before, reinvent myself as a leader. So that's been a really, really beneficial part of my growth and becoming the people leader that I need to be a chief product officer. I think on the functional expertise side, the big leap that I needed to make was going from really just like kind of tackling the execution of product management and helping my team do that across the team to really be able to set a multi-year product strategy and then figure out what are all the pieces that we need to do to execute against that strategy. So coming up with the roadmap, and not just the product roadmap, but truly like the roadmap across the organization for how are we going to achieve this 3-year vision. And that, I think that part is harder to say, oh yeah, there's these resources you can learn from. I learned from a lot of the leaders that I reported to. I learned from through trial and error of trying something and seeing, hey, is this gonna stick? Is this gonna work out? Is this gonna resonate? And then learning along the way and iterating. And so that I think that piece is challenging. But typically, if you're working for a great CEO who is a visionary, I think I've had this great opportunity to work, to learn from these amazing CEOs of, okay, how do you think about setting a big vision for the company and really emulating that? And then of course, with my expertise on understanding the product and where we are today, it's made it possible for me then to chart out, okay, these are the steps we need to take if we want to achieve that vision. And so I've done that a couple of different times now and truly like beyond cultivating the team, which is probably the most rewarding, truly the most rewarding part of the role. The second most rewarding part is really setting that vision, getting people excited about it, and then figuring out what's the path that we need to take across the company to get there.
That's awesome. So talking about the teams that you just mentioned, the question popped up. How do you learn to actually build these right teams that works for the company's culture? I don't know if your teams have been pretty similar across Rubrik and LiveRamp, and if they even differ across, you know, companies and cultures, but how do you just get that right team? Because it all starts with that, right? That's your first recipe for success, right?
Yeah.
The right people.
And it's interesting because it's,
the right people for the moment in time that your company is in. So I would say that it's never been exactly right. You know, it's a constant iteration. So, I mean, people are leaving, people are coming in. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the company is growing. You need something different in your team in order to help achieve the potential of what you're trying to do within the product. So I think it's this ever evolving thing. And there is a lot of, you know, hiring is an imprecise science, imprecise art and science. It's hard. It's really hard to make sure that you're bringing in the right people. And I will admit that I haven't always made perfect decisions in hiring. And I think the big thing is just like continuing to really look at your team, see what the gaps are. I really believe in hiring a diverse team and people from, and not just thinking about gender diversity or ethnic diversity, but really what are the experiences that people have had, and making sure that I have a team of people that have experiences from, you know, maybe smaller companies as well as bigger companies, or experiences across different industries, or, you know, Rubrik, one of the things that we've been doing is a major transformation to becoming a SaaS company. So bringing people with SaaS experience to augment people that have more of the experience of our core products. So thinking about all of these different aspects of how do you have a diverse team, and how do you both make sure that you cultivate and you keep the knowledge that exists today in the team that's grown over time, and that are promoting people that have been with the company for a while also bringing in outside experience. And I think I've learned over time that you have to have both. You have to have a mix of both of those things, because the people that have been with the company for a while, they understand how to get things done. They understand the culture. They understand the customers really well. Bringing in people with outside experience will help the team rethink some of the things that they've held to be true for a long time. And so getting that mix is really, really important. And then figuring out what's not working and where do you have gaps. I think that's the hardest part, is it's really difficult to really objectively look at your team and say, okay, where are the gaps today? What's not working? Especially, you know, for me, it's like, I love people. So I love each person on the team, and I feel very connected to them. And so sometimes it's hard for me to say, okay, there's a real gap here. This isn't working. So that's something that I've had to work on and continue to evolve. But then, you know, in my mind, I'm like, okay, there's certain things that we need for the company. And so let's figure out how we make sure that the team embodies those experiences so that we can bring the best out in our products.
That's awesome. So in all of this, where do you think was the hardest or the biggest barrier to break while moving into the chief product officer? And why was it hard, and what did you do to overcome?
I think the biggest barrier for me I think on the people leadership side, as I was just talking about, I get very attached to people. And so really being able to objectively look at my team and say, you know, for these people, where are the gaps? How do I help them and give them feedback to improve on those areas, but also recognizing when someone isn't working out for the team. I think that was really hard. And that's really hard for a lot of people moving into people leadership, is saying, hey, this isn't necessarily working out with a particular person, and being able to make those difficult decisions, even though you're never going to have 100% proof one way or the other that someone is working out or isn't. So I think that was a really big thing that I had to work through. And I mean, it was just one of those things where the way I did it is like, I got a lot of feedback on particular people, and I tried to work through it. And of course, like for making like difficult decisions, like firing decisions, typically like the first couple times you do it, you wait too long and you see the impact that has across the organization. And I certainly did that. And I learned from those mistakes. And I said, okay, I'm not going to do this again in the future. It's doing a disservice to this person, because I'm not putting them in a place where they can be successful, and I'm doing a disservice to the company as well. So that was definitely a difficult lesson. And then I think on the product management functional side of things, the part that I really had to work on was how to I think bridge the vision for where the company was going with an ambitious enough plan for execution. because I think it's, and what I mean by that is that it's really easy when you're doing or thinking about execution within the product to really to focus on incremental changes that can, that, you know, deliver, that you know your customers want, that can deliver incremental value. And it's harder to say, like, what are those big leaps and the big bets mm-hmm. that we should make, and how should we make those in a disciplined enough way where there's a higher chance of likelihood that those bets are going to play out? Because it's easy to make big swings and then not do it in a very disciplined way, and then you just are wasting time and money. So I think figuring out that balance of like, okay, we have an ambitious vision. How are we going to get there? What does it take to organically do innovation within a company and do something that's totally new and different from what you've done before? What are the types of people that you need for that? And then also, how do you think about acquisitions or partnerships or mm-hmm. non-organic ways for innovation and doing that well too? Because those are also risky, challenging, time-consuming efforts too. So that, like, figuring those pieces out, that was very challenging, and figuring out how to balance that was really, it took a lot of trial and error again. And it's not like every time you get it right, but you just keep, you try to keep iterating and seeing what works and fixing things that aren't working.
Mm, very interesting. So in this journey of kind of some of the hardest part to break into a chief product officer, how did you learn to equip yourself for the board approval? Because that's one of the key things as well. Was that ever an issue for you, or is that with your LiveRamp experience, with so much of exposure with the leadership team? Yeah. How did you equip yourself for that?
Yeah, it was interesting at LiveRamp, because I grew within the company, and because the leadership at many different stages gave me a lot of early exposure mm-hmm. to the board. It was easier mm-hmm. for me to get that approval. Mm-hmm. I think what is very helpful is being aware that you need the board approval mm-hmm. and that's something that's going to be important. And then working, hopefully, and in my case, it was always the case, the CEO was very in tune with what the board cared about and how what I needed to do to show up well for the board, and all, you know, all the different CEOs of LiveRamp coached me on how to show up appropriately and would work with me anytime I needed to do a board presentation. And that was very, very helpful. And so I think that's a really important aspect. And even if they were proactively doing that, but even if your CEO isn't proactively doing that, asking for that and like really trying to understand, hey, what's the board going to care about? If I'm presenting the product roadmap, like what level of detail should I go into? What is it that they actually want to hear? Mm-hmm. And gaining that understanding. That's something that, you know, coming into Rubrik, I already knew some of the board members, which was helpful. But even then, it's like, it's a different board. It's like mm-hmm. a different mm-hmm. stage of company, trying to understand what do they care about and how do I make sure that I'm presenting information to them in a way that is relevant, and that I'm answering right. questions and I'm coming across as authentic and knowledgeable, especially when I was new to the company. I was like, I don't know a lot of things, but I have a lot of ideas for what we can do. So that those are things where I've worked with the leaders who already know the board members well in order to figure out what's the best way to present myself in front of the board.
So for some of the aspiring CPOs who are like probably one or two steps away and do not have much of a board experience, what would your advice be for them?
I think talking to your chief product officer about how they approach mm-hmm. working with the board, that's a great resource because they're going in front of the board all the time and that understanding. And then, you know, at both LiveRamp and Rubrik, in my chief product officer role, I've given people on my team the opportunity to present at the board. And I think that's something that hopefully many other companies do and would embrace as well, or other leadership teams, where, you know, giving people opportunity that are experts on the team to come in and talk about their part of the product, and then coaching them ahead of time on how to do that. So I think if you're in an organization where that happens, that's great. If you're not, it's something that you can ask your chief product officer about and say, hey, are there opportunities where I can get in front of the board? Or is this something that's appropriate? And then making sure that you're getting the mentorship and guidance appropriate so that you're showing up well and talking again at the right level for what the board cares about.
No, that's an excellent advice. I think at some point it's not just about you doing the job, but how do you coach the others and bring people along as well to do that? I think that's an excellent advice. Yeah, that's amazing. Coming back to our, you know, responsibilities of a chief product officer, which I know we spoke about how different it could be based on the company size, the place they are in the market and things. How do you describe the responsibilities and how do you think it's different from being a VP of product?
So I think the chief product officer ultimately is responsible for the success of the company, especially if it's a product-driven company. Mm-hmm. If it's if you're a technology company and you're outselling products and that's really what it's about, it's not a services company or something like that, then I think your chief product officer role is really about like, how do you make the company successful via the vehicle of doing so is the products that you're bringing to market. I think that the difference between what's required for a chief product officer versus a VP of marketing is really that integrated approach and role. And there's an integrated approach that you need to take as a VP, but as a chief product officer, the people that you're working with across the company are your chief revenue officer, the mm-hmm. chief financial officer, maybe a COO, a chief marketing officer. You're dealing with the rest of the C-level, the CEO, obviously. Mm-hmm. You're dealing with the rest of the C-level executives. And the role that you play is both a leader of the company, but then a leader of your functional role as well. And the approach you have to take is one where it's like, okay, how do you, as a chief product officer, my role is to set the 3-year vision of along with the rest of the leaders at the company and then chart the path for how we're going to get there. That means like collaborating very closely with all of these different executives and kind of doing a mind meld of like, how do you take, because it's not all my ideas, it's not all the CEO's ideas, it's really everyone, where you have to kind of take all of their approaches, their ideas, their concerns for what is it going to take to get there, and really meld that into a plan that everyone can get behind. And that tends to be quite different than what you have to do as a VP of product or a director of product. And of course, the complexity of that is different depending on your company size, the complexity of your product portfolio. But it's a pretty big leap because it's not often what is required to be successful at different levels isn't necessarily what's going to set you up for success in the higher levels within the company too. Mm. So it's definitely interesting to navigate that. And I think, you know, as I've grown in my career, as I said, I had to reinvent myself as a leader. And it wasn't just because the company was going through different stages. It was also because like my role was truly changing and what was required of me was truly changing. Mm.
Awesome. And what is the key to, you know, working with all these leadership team at large, and especially a CEO as well?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually think that being a product manager prepares you well for interacting with all of these different leaders, because if you think about what it takes to respond to customers, which every product manager is responding to customers, it's asking great questions. It's being a great listener. Mm-hmm. It's being able to synthesize what people are saying and understand like where do mm-hmm. you push back and say, okay, this isn't, yeah, like your problem is right, maybe your solution isn't right. It's a similar thing. Like you practice that all the time when you're interacting with customers. And I think that's the same thing that you have to do when you're interacting with C-level executives is truly like be a great listener, ask a lot of questions. And know when to push back and how to push back respectfully if you don't agree or if you think that there's a different way of approaching things. And so it's almost like taking all these skills that you've learned for building a great product to the relationships that you have within the company as well.
That's awesome. So now if you have to go back in time to change something regarding your entire approach to being a chief product officer, if you had a chance, what would you do? Or is there anything that you actually want to change? It just seems so perfect.
I mean, I tend to live my life without regrets. And so I think like every experience that I've had, even experiences where I failed, have helped me become better as a leader, better as a chief product officer. So I don't know that I would go back and change anything. Like, I feel incredibly lucky that I've had such amazing opportunities, and not just opportunities to grow, but opportunities to make mistakes and learn, because that has made me better. And I think just as like, you're not going to learn a lot if you have a product that immediately has success and you don't have to iterate on upon it. It's the same thing too in your career. It's like you learn a lot by the failures and by things not going well. And truly, the times in my career where I've had the most amount of growth are the times when I've been the most challenged, where I've been the most, felt like, okay, I don't know if I can do this right now. It's so difficult. It feels, I don't know what to do. Like, I see all these problems and I don't know how to tackle them. And truly, like, those are the opportunities where I've had to learn the most. I think the thing I've learned is that when I hit those moments is reaching out for help and asking for help early and often from anyone, from everyone in my network, that's really what has helped me get over those humps. And so maybe I would say, like, the thing I would do differently is, like, in some cases I didn't ask for help early enough and I was struggling on my own for too long and getting discouraged and not feeling like I could make the moves that I needed to make. But as soon as I started asking for help and started really trying to take the control of the situation and take control of my own mental state in that situation, things got solved a lot faster than I even realized. So that's definitely a learning for me. And I now every time I hit a difficult situation, even though something small, then my first reaction is, okay, who can I ask for help from? And cultivating that group of people that have experiences different than mine that I can reach out to.
So being this amazing and successful leader that you are today and inspiring, did you have to make any personal or professional sacrifices to get to where you are today? And are they really worthy of those sacrifices, do you think, if you just reflect back?
I think anything that you try to achieve doesn't come without some kind of sacrifice, right? There's only 24 hours in a day, right? So you can't do, and there's so many things that I want to do. I want to spend time with family and friends, and I want to have this great career, and I want to give back to the community, and I want to advise people and mentor people. So everything comes at a sacrifice in some way. For me, I guess I don't view it as like a sacrifice of, okay, this is something that I'm giving up. It's like I have a portfolio of things that I want to be doing with my time, and both on the personal side and the work side. And the biggest thing for me, biggest challenge, honestly, and the thing that I continue to work on is like, how do I take all these things that I want to do and fit them into the 24-hour day? And every day is going to be different, a different balance of things. And how do I do the time blocking to make time for the things that I really care about and make sure that I'm doing so? Because if I do something like sacrifice too much family time or too much friend time for work, I don't think it actually serves me well at work. I don't think I actually show up as the leader that I want to show up as. I don't think I'm like as creative or as capable of doing my job. And vice versa, it's like if I'm doing too much stuff outside of work and not really focusing on work, then I don't feel like I'm putting in what I need to get for the company and for what I want to be doing in my career. And so it's always a balance. And I mean, it's going to be a new balance for me. I just had a baby, my first baby, 5 weeks ago.
And so I'm
thinking about this all over again. I'm off of work until October. And so when I go back, I'm going to have to go figure it out all over again. And I think that's part of the challenge, is like life is constantly changing. Your priorities are constantly changing. Like, how do you fit it all together in a way that's going to make you feel satisfied and getting the fulfillment that you want out of your life? It's tough.
No, that's totally, especially being a woman and playing so many different roles as a mom, as a wife, you know, as a daughter, as a daughter-in-law, as a leader, and everything that, you know, a woman encompasses in it. So that's pretty amazing. Yeah. And fast forward 5 years or 10 years down the lane, how do you think this chief product officer role will change, even though it's fairly new given at this point in time? How do you think that might change, or how does the future look like?
I think it will change. As you said, it's a relatively new role. I also think that it's a difficult role. And it's hard to recruit for. It's hard to make people successful in the role. If you look at the average tenure of a chief product officer, it's something like 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. And that's not very long at all. And so if so something is going to change, like, I don't think that it's perfectly working for companies right now and for people. And you also see that, like, a lot of chief product officers, they do the role once, and then they move on to being a CEO or move on to be doing something else. So you don't see a lot of people that are repeating and doing multiple chief product officer roles. So I think something is going to change about the role. I don't exactly know what that's going to look like, but I think that it has to, because right now it's not, I don't think that we're in a sustainable place in terms of, like, how chief product officer roles are thought of, how they're recruited for, and then how ultimately chief product officers are made successful within the organizations that they join.
What advice do you give to other women directors or VP of product who are aspiring to be a chief product officer?
I think, talk to as many people as you can, build the connections across the organization, and not just, like, within your organization, but think about reaching out externally too and building relationships with people that are other chief product officers or other C-level executives. Because I think, again, that one of the hardest leaps to make is really be that influencer across C-level executives in your organization, and getting as much practice with that and getting as much experience with that as possible is going to really set you up well to take on that role in the future. And of course, be ambitious, because I really feel like more women should aspire to be chief product officers. There's not enough of us yet in the industry.
Completely, completely.
Rashmi, that was a great conversation with Anika. I just so love her big career ambitions and that she just embraces that. In our next episode, you're speaking with Jennifer Taylor, Chief Product Officer at Cloudflare, a web performance and security company. One of the things that I love about this interview is Jen's path into product management. You would think, given that she works for a cloud services company, that she would have a highly technical background, but that really isn't the case. She built her career around a love of collaboration and building things, including building teams. Any tidbits from that interview that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I agree that her path into product management was very thought-provoking, since it actually involved a process of elimination and experimentation. And she describes them all with examples, which I think our audience would really appreciate. She also has a very interesting approach for the board level preparations by asking the right questions, which seems very data driven, I must say. And one of her superpowers has been customer obsession, which has really helped her transition into roles even without a highly technical background.
So true. I hope you all will join us for the next episode to hear more. Thank you for listening. And thanks also to our partners, Discover, Google, Meta, and Upwork, who provide annual support for the work of Women in Product and our community. This podcast is an original production of Women in Product. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Leave us a review so that others can discover us. Or share this episode with people you know. If you have any questions or suggestions for future guests or topics, you can reach us at podcast@womenpm.org.